Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, we will be looking at the career of an Irish football pioneer, Ray Keogh. Ray was one of the first black players to play League of Ireland football. And joining us to discuss Ray Keogh's career is football historian Gerard Farrell. And I'm delighted to say that Gerard is joining us on the line at the moment. Gerard, thanks a million for joining me this evening.
No problem. Listen, thanks for having us on.
So, Gerard, to start off, you've looked into this area and you've researched it in detail. What was it about Ray's story that attracted you to it?
Well, I suppose I had heard about Ray from my own father, who had played with Ray in the kind of 1970s and 80s when Ray was kind of player coach of Tullamore Town. And it was quite a successful team in down Tullamore. They won the League of Ireland B division as it was at the time, and they also won the Intermediate Cup. And Ray was a very colourful character and full of interesting phrases, but my father always rated him very highly as a player and also as a coach and manager. So he'd kind of told me stories about him before, and one of the days he actually mentioned that he was, like, in my father's opinion, probably one of the first black players in the League of Ireland. And I said, well, look, has anyone ever researched that? And it struck me that probably no one had, really. And at the same time, a lot of research was being done in Britain about kind of players from kind of minority black backgrounds and who were the early black players in the UK league. So you had people like Andrew Watson, who was a Scottish international in the 1880s even, people like Walter Tull, who was a footballer for Tottenham Hotspur, but was also, I think, the first black officer in the British Army. And kind of interesting stories, and, you know, there was articles published about them. There was a statue built of some like of Tull and people like that. So I was saying, well, look, no one has really done that research for the League of Ireland. And also, I think just my own view is that the League of Ireland sometimes is neglected in terms of historical research, and that there are great people researching things, but even the audience they get to talk to is often relatively small. So I wanted to maybe just tell Ray's story. And then over the course of a few years, researching newspaper archives, talking to ex-players, talking to my own father, and eventually I actually got to meet some of Ray's family and also Ray himself. He passed away actually last year.
Okay.
When I got to meet him kind of Christmas 2018 with his daughter Louise, and we had a chat, and he kind of told me all about his career and his life, and absolute gentleman, really lovely guy. And it was great to get that opportunity to talk to him about his playing days and his career. And I've turned into a couple of articles. There was a piece published on the League of Ireland website, and also after he passed away, there was a feature piece in the Ireland-Switzerland match program. The game was held in Mansfield Road, and there was a minute of applause for him before the game, which I thought was a nice touch. And glad that I could do a little bit there to kind of remember him as a player and one of the pioneering figure in Irish football, I'd view him as.
Yeah, and what kind of reaction would he have got from the terraces? Because I guess football would have been a reflection on society, and being a black player, there would have been a novelty value. And would he have experienced any racism when he was playing in the League of Ireland?
There was a bit, all right. And I suppose, just to clarify, as part of my research, I found out there was at least one black player who played in the league prior to Ray. There was a guy called Francis Archibong, who was a UCD English student in the late 40s. And he played a handful of games for Bohemians, mostly in the League of Ireland Shield. But Ray made his league debut, I think, in 1959. And I suppose a lot of the stuff was kind of born out of what I would suggest is ignorance, that he had a lot of nicknames, some of which would use words that, look, I'd never use on radio. I don't know if that was out of malice or ignorance, or just because, obviously, there was a very small black community in Ireland at the time. One of the more bizarre ones was that apparently one of the nicknames associated with him was Blessed Martin.
Okay.
And I suppose where that came from was, who is now St. Martin de Porres, was a Catholic saint who was, at the time in the 50s and 60s, they were about to canonize him, and he was a black saint from, I think, Peru.
Right.
And I think that was people's point of reference for a black person. So they used to call Ray Keogh Blessed Martin, which is kind of somewhat bizarre. He did also play up north in the Irish League for Ards and Portadown. And he did tell me that he actually got more abuse while playing up north for being a Catholic Dan for being black, and he said that he used to wear a crucifix around his neck when he played. And
right.
One supporter at a match, I think, against Glentoran, basically tried to reach over the hoardings and rip it off his neck, and was very abusive towards him. And that.
And what sort of in the League of Ireland? I know he'd a very good spell at Drumcondra. What kind of career had Ray across the League of Ireland?
Well, I suppose he made his debut kind of in his late teens and kind of played through League of Ireland until he was about 30 or so, and then kind of went into player coaching down in the likes of Leinster Senior League. I suppose, as you say, his most successful period would have been with Drumcondra. He was a league winner with Drumcondra. He won the Shield with Drumcondra. He played in Europe against the likes of FC Nuremberg and Odense from Denmark, and also against Bayern Munich in Europe. He was kind of part of a historic team with Drums in that. When they played Odense, or Odense, I think is the Danish pronunciation, in the Fairs Cup, as it was then, the precursor to the UEFA Cup, they became the first Irish team to win a European tie over two legs. They won that game 6-5, and they progressed into the next round where they faced Bayern Munich, and Ray was part of that team. So I suppose he's part of a little bit of Irish history. He also played representative matches for the League of Ireland selections, League of Ireland team, against the likes of the Scottish League, which... at the time were very prestigious matches. I mean, he played a game for the Irish League as well against the Scottish League over in Ibrox with over 20,000 people at the game. He played in some significant matches. And I suppose that Drums team as well that people always talk about, they were a very glamorous side at the time. They had a great rivalry with Shamrock Rovers. And I mean, the games at Tolka and Milltown are kind of legendary now for the quality of the football and also the huge crowds they attracted.
And kind of an aside, Gerard, Drumcondra, I've always heard people talk really, really affectionately of that team, like they were such a big team in the 60s. What happened to that club? How did they, how come they'd kind of disappeared?
Well, it's an interesting story. I should say there is a Drumcondra who used the same crest, used the same green and gold jerseys, who are playing in the Leinster Senior League, and they're still quite active, and they're doing quite well, and there's very good people involved with them. So it's Drumcondra as a league force. They went out of the league in the early 70s, like 1972, and what it was, I suppose, it comes down to all those things. It comes down to money, really. The Prohl family, Sam Prohl and his wider family, were basically the owners of the club, and Sam had previously been involved with the likes of Dundalk before as well. And it was basically just they couldn't keep funding the club to the levels that would be expected to keep them going. So what happened was a kind of a weird sort of merger / reverse takeover where Home Farm, as the kind of the junior club, a non-League of Ireland club, basically merged with them. And for a brief time, they were Drumcondra, Home Farm, Drumcondra, or Drumcondra, Home Farm. And basically, the Drumcondra was very soon dropped, and it just became Home Farm, and Home Farm had a league presence for a while. And that was kind of the very kind of Drumcondra kind of petered out as a team, really. It wasn't anything overly dramatic. It was just that their owners couldn't keep funding them to the level to achieve the success they were aiming for. They weren't getting the return on investment. And I suppose there's a story in that as well, that the heydays of the 50s and 60s were waning. Yeah. Crowds had diminished by the 1970s. So I suppose the revenue wasn't there that maybe once had been there when you were getting bumper gates and you were getting maybe 20,000 plus at a match against Shamrock Rovers or for big European games into Tolka Park.
And I attended your excellent talk yesterday, Gerard, in Drumcondra Library. And you mentioned at the outset, you were talking about Ray. He grew up initially in a mother and child home. When you were chatting to him in the last couple of years, did he talk much about his early years, or did he mention that much to you?
No, it wasn't something he talked about too much, I suppose. He was raised by the Keogh family, I think initially fostered by them and then adopted by them. And they sound like a very warm and generous family. And I suppose he talked a lot about having a huge extended family, because they fostered many other children as well. So he always spoke very fondly about his home environment in that term. And I suppose they lived out towards Milltown, and he kind of got him involved with following Shamrock Rovers. And even as a young lad, he got to know the Shamrock Rovers trainer, Billy Lord, and things like that. And he was initially, after actually playing for a couple of local clubs and also for Home Farm, he was signed up as a teenager for Shamrock Rovers. And it's for them he made his first league appearance before he went on to actually play for Longford and then on to Drums.
And he, you mentioned he, he'd a bit of a managerial career. How did he take to coaching? Would he been well regarded as a coach?
Well, from anyone I talked to, and including my own father, he was quite successful as a coach outside League of Ireland level. So he coached Tullamore Town, as I said, to quite some considerable success, winning the Intermediate Cup, winning the League of Ireland B. He won the Intermediate Cup as well with Bluebell, who are obviously a well-known Dublin team. Mm. And also coached a team in Navancourt, Park Villa. And I think he actually, in the FAI Cup, Park Villa were drawn against Shamrock Rovers and actually took them to a replay. Mm. So that was no mean achievement for a Leinster Senior League team. Mm. And he was a player coach for much of it. I think he played until he was about 40 or so. But yeah, he was quite well regarded as a coach. And from even what people I know who played under him, that he was a very enthusiastic, very supportive sort of guy, and someone who had a great memory for the game, could talk to you about something that happened in the game 6 months ago, and go into great detail about things like that.
Mm. And before I let you go, Gerard, you're well known as a football historian. I know you gave a talk before Christmas about bows in Europe. Is there any other areas of research you're looking into at the moment that we might take a look at?
Well, there's quite a few things, Patrick. I don't know if I would say anything yet. I'm hoping to speak at a conference next month about kind of the growth in women's football in Dublin and in the early years, kind of prior to 1973 when women's football was officially recognised by the FAI and things like that. I'm working on a few other small projects that people will hopefully see soon. And if anyone wants to read any of my stuff, it's published in quite a few locations, but I have most of it on my own blog, which is just called a Bohemian Sporting Life. It's not all about bows. It has a lot of stuff about League of Ireland. It has some stuff about international football and some other football around Europe and South America and things like that. But I'm hoping to have a few more projects to work on in the near future, but I wouldn't want to say anything yet just until that's confirmed.
No problem. And I can't let you go with you mentioned bows there. We're only a couple of weeks away from the start of the season. It was an excellent season last year for bows. What do you think of their prospects this year?
Well, I suppose they kind of confounded a lot of people's expectations by finishing third. I'm delighted we're in Europe. I've been over 7 years since we were in Europe, and I can't wait for the draw this summer. But I suppose it'll be very challenging. I think we've signed very well. We've kept a lot of our better players. I'm hoping that having Dinny Corcoran back fully fit is a big bonus to the team. But I also think that it'll be very challenging. If you look at the spend being made by the likes of St. Pat's and Derry, they're obviously very ambitious. They're aiming for those European places. So I actually think it'll be a very enjoyable league season. I think Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, obviously because of their financial clout and how strongly they finished last year, will be obviously the top, aiming for the top two. And then I think a lot of other clubs, Bowes, Pats, Derry and so on, will be aiming for that third and fourth spot. I'd be delighted if we kind of got into European positions again or even went one better. I don't think it's beyond it. I have great faith in Keith Long as a manager and Trevor Crawley and his whole management team. But I just can't wait for the season to start, being honest.
Yeah, it's been a long, long break, so it's not long.
Terrible close season, long close season, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's only a couple of weeks. And what a start. It's I'd be right, it's Shamrock Rovers first off, isn't it?
That's right, on Saturday the 15th, and it's an early afternoon game.
Perfect. Listen, Gerard, good luck for Bowes for the rest of the season. Thanks a million for joining us, telling us about that fascinating story of Raikio. So thanks a million for joining us this evening on the show.
Cheers.
That's great. That was Gerard. Apologies, Gerard Farrell joining me. Nearly forgot Gerard's name. Apologies about that, Gerard. Just filling us in on the career of Raikio, as Gerard said, one of the first. First players, black players, to play League of Ireland football. As I said, I attended Gerard's talk yesterday in Drumcondra Library, and it was a really, really, really fascinating talk. I might be later on in the show, as we wrap up the show later on, we're going to take a look at some of the events and fixtures to look out for this weekend. It's a really, really exciting weekend to look forward to this weekend, and really, really there's only one way to start or look ahead. We It's the start of the National League, the Allianz Football League. So all eyes will be on Croke Park on Sunday. It's the beginning of the Desi Farrell era, and Dublin will kick off against Mount Warhorn game against Kerry 7:15 on Saturday. And looking ahead to other games on Saturday, Donegal against Mayo, that's at 7 p.m. Armagh and Cavan will face off at 7 p.m. in Division 2. Division 3 on Saturday, Derry against Leitrim, Cork against Offaly at 6 p.m. Hard to believe Cork are in Division 3, but there you are. And Division 4 on Saturday, we have Carlow and Wicklow, Waterford and Limerick. So they're 7 p.m. kickoffs. And on Sunday in the Division 1, to complete the round of games, of course, we've two games in Division 1 on Saturday. And on Sunday, the two games are Tyrone against Meath at 2 p.m. and 2:30 Galway against Monaghan. And Division 2 is on in football, Westmeath against Clare, 2 p.m. Roscommon against Laois, and Kildare against Roscommon. They complete the Division 2 games. The hurling also, the National Hurling League begins this weekend as well. So on Saturday we have a great game to look forward to, 5:15 in Division 1 Group A, Tip against Limerick, that's 5:15 p.m. and Division 1 Group B, Laois against Wexford at 7 p.m. Saturday. Complete the other matches Sunday, Division 1, Galway versus Westmeath, 12:30 Division 1, and Waterford versus Cork. And in Group B, we have Clare versus Carlow, 2 p.m. and Kilkenny against Dublin at 2 p.m. So a good test. And not forgetting the Dublin ladies begin their Division 1 in the Little National League competition when they host Tipperary at 2 p.m. We also have basketball finals to look forward to. It's DBS Aina against Temple Oak, the National Cup final on Saturday. And Sunday, we have Brunel against Pyrobel Colestor, 5:30 in the Women's National Cup final. And we might do a feature on the basketball next week. It's an area we haven't covered in a while. It's a break for fans of cross-channel football. We've a break from the Premiership on at this weekend. So it's FA Cup action on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And tonight we have Premier League action. Wolves will play Liverpool tonight at 8 p.m. Liverpool in unstoppable form at present. So interesting to see whether they continue in that vein of form. That's pretty much it for this week. You can listen back to any of our previous interviews on the show. We've had a great reaction to our guest last week, Ger Redmond. So you can listen back to that interview with Ger, where Ger told us about his story from prison to professional triathlete last week. So you can listen back to that interview or any of our previous interviews if you go onto the Near FM page and search Beyond the Back Page. And you can follow us on Twitter, Beyond the Back Page. Please get in touch if you have any suggestions for future guests. Please get in touch. For more sport on Near FM, you can tune in 10:30 on Saturday. Fergus Carroll will have his usual weekend sports previews. That's 10:30 on Saturday. So that's my lot for this evening. I'd like to a sincere word of thanks to my guest this evening. It was Gerard Farrell, a football historian, who was telling us about the life and times and the career of the great Ray Keogh, who was a football pioneer. But I'm going to leave you until next week. I will talk to you then.